This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. We are kicking off hour number two here. Great to have you with me on this Monday night here in the great state of Wisconsin. Wherever you are listening from, welcome, welcome. Tomorrow night we have nutritionist Sherry Stoka on the show. She owns Wellness MD in Milwaukee and the rock band. We're going to rock tomorrow night, Conrad. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. I am so ready.
Ask Your Mother. Eric Rathsack and Adam Krause from Ask Your Mother will be here in the studio, and there will be rock. So we'll check in with Sherry and see how people are doing with their New Year's resolution too. I'm also going to hit the street this week, folks, and ask people about their resolutions and see how that's going. So we'll cut that together too this week. That'll be fun. And then on Wednesday, Anders Lindell, the director of the film Green and Gold, starring, tell me his name again, Conrad.
Craig T. Nelson?
Well, Craig T. Nelson, but the big movie star is Brandon, I can never think of it, it's Skennel, I think. He's in 1923, and he's like in the top 10 on IMDb Pro. This guy's huge. And Anders, a kid from the UP Done Good, got him in his movie. So it's opening wide January 31st. We'll talk to Anders on Wednesday night. So right now, we have a few more minutes with our current guest. Jordan Tresky, he wrote a book called Building the Milwaukee Bucks, which you can pre-order now on Amazon. So we have a texter, Jordan, that says... Oh, I lost my text. Bear with me here. Please ask your guest about the Bucks trading Jrue Holiday to the Boston Celtics. He was one of my favorite players. I was so mad when they traded him. Are you behind that, Jordan? Should we direct anger at you?
I'm not. Okay. You don't need to direct your anger at me. But not to be, you know, this person, but Bucks didn't technically trade Jrue Holiday to the Celtics. They traded him to the Blazers, and then the Celtics were like, that's a good player. We're going to trade for him. So that was more of it than anything. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, the plan to trade for Damian Lillard and hopefully it working out and creating kind of like, you know, extending this era of contending for a championship has been tougher than I think they could have imagined.
It's a hard thing to do. It's hard to repeat. I mean, and it's hard to stay relevant. I mean, we have another texter here I want to get to from the 414. This is John, who's actually from Portland, Oregon. He says, hey, Pete, great show. First time, long time. My favorite superhero is Moon Knight. Who's that, Conrad? Do you know that guy?
Yeah, that's a great TV show if you haven't seen it. Yeah.
Oh, nice. All right. He says, can you ask Jordan if he's ever had the pleasure of interviewing a coach, and if so, who is his favorite?
I have had the pleasure of interviewing a coach. His name is Mike Dunlap. He was like assistant coach for the Bucks when they won the title. And then I think he was there for like three seasons. Basically, he left when Mike Budenholzer got fired. So, but yeah, it was quite the thrill to talk to him. A very unique guy and just a like crazy journey of coaching all around the world. And then he is kind of like this veteran coach that has seen everything, came to Milwaukee, and it kind of helped give them a little bit of a lift, I think, from a coaching side that, you know, they needed to get over the hump.
That's great. Jordan, so how important was the first championship they won in 1971 after just 3 years? And how important was the 2021 team's championship? Are there parallels there?
I think obviously 50 is such a big round number that you want to see parallels. I mean, part of it is just who are the two biggest and most important players in the franchise? It's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. Those are obviously forever linked, being number 33 in Kareem's case and being number 34 in Giannis's case. They're always kind of symbolically right there next to each other. But, you know, I think part of it is that the Bucks won it so quickly in 3 years, and that was the standard that they had to meet for a very long time. Even when Kareem left, they eventually were very good. They were, they again, they met up against the Celtics in the East and lost to the 76ers many times throughout the 80s, but they're still in the hunt. And then things just fell off pretty badly there for many years. So when they got really good again, and Giannis is starting to become, you know, a breakout guy, then he turns into an MVP player. Like, I think a lot of it, it's not a perfect like for like comparison, but the fact that someone like Giannis, who was this teenager when he comes from Milwaukee and then just grows into something bigger and better than anybody could have imagined, he has a lot of traits that I would say Kareem had at the time, but Kareem was just so much more polished when he comes to the NBA versus Giannis had it needed a few years to kind of reach that level.
I think that was part of Giannis's charm though, right? Like, he was this kind of this kid, but he was so likable. Very different than Kareem, who was more, like you said earlier, aloof. When I moved to Wisconsin, I was 12 years old, and I remember they had this great team. They had Sidney Moncrief and Marcus Johnson, and I felt like I didn't know about them because of the Packers. Like, that was a great Bucks team. Do the Packers tend to overshadow the Bucks and or Brewers at times? I feel like the Bucks should have more of their swag out there and be a team people find. Do you think that?
I think you're hitting on that kind of sentiment. Even when the Packers, I mean, during that time, the Packers were very bad. You know,
right.
they won throughout the 60s, sorry. And then Vince Lombardi leaves, or he resigns. And then it just starts off like 25 years of just, I think they had one or two playoff appearances within that time frame. But it's because it's the Packers. They created this example of mattering so much throughout the state that even with a team like the Bucks, who, again, I think part of it is that NFL was so established at the time versus the NBA had to really fight their way to really matter in a national perspective, that even when the Bucks won the title and they're content, you know, trying to get back to that point, people are still looking at the Packers as like, well, they'll eventually get back there. And it took a long time for them to do that, even when the Bucks were winning 50 to 60 games and Don Nelson's like kind of viewed as this guy that's keeping it going and the machine going. So, yeah, I think, you know, when I started writing about the Bucks, I think the thing was always just like, Bucks season starts when Packers season ends.
Right.
And the Bucks have made it now kind of like they're trying to get on even footing, but it's still, the NFL is such a behemoth, and I think the Packers are a big reason why.
Do you have a favorite Wisconsin sports team? Is it the Bucks? You seem to do most of your work. It's Bucks related, but
Bucks are definitely like the one that I've talked and written about the most. The Packers are more newer, but I definitely have followed football longer. Like, that's my earliest sports memories are watching like the Packers win the Super Bowl in 97 and being like 5 years old and just be like, what is the Super Bowl? so that was more of that. But yeah, it's kind of like a two halves of like a something that just feels very familiar to me, I would say.
My guest is Jordan Tresky, the author of Building the Milwaukee Bucks. You can also check out his Packer related podcast, Packers GSPN Talk of the Tundra, on Twitter or X. You have let's get a prediction before we let you go, Jordan. Where will the Bucks finish this year? How do you like their chances?
Oh, they're trying to get into that home court range, so the top four in the East. But
that would be amazing after how they started, right? I mean, if they could land.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
The fact that they're where they are right now, after being what I think like 2-8 at one point, like through the first 10 games, like it's a lot better. But I think, you know, they just got walloped by the Knicks by like 34 points.
Yeah.
Celtics, the Cavs are, you know, they just lost yesterday, but they're 31-5. It's going to be tough to crack in there. So I think kind of that 5-6 range where they're sure to make the playoffs, but they'll have a tough road to climb to kind of, you know, break this 2-year drought of not winning a playoff series, I would say.
All right. Before we let you go, our question of the night is favorite superhero movie. I think you could take 30 seconds, Jordan, and forget about the Bucks. tell us your favorite superhero movie if you have one.
I would say The Dark Knight. I think that it's a movie like that experience of watching it for the first time is like up there. And it's kind of one of those movies where if you know, I guess cable it's a fading medium, but if you see it on cable or if you're, you know, it's halfway through the movie and you just like follow along. Like, you can just kind of pick it up instantly. It's kind of one of those movies where whether you watch it from start to finish or you pick it up midway through, that you're always going to be sucked into it kind of thing.
That's a great answer. And that's the first time we've heard The Dark Knight on this program.
Really?
Anyway.
Wow.
Tonight. Yeah, because most people, well, I said Batman Begins, but a lot of people say The Dark Knight is a better film, and maybe it is. I just like watching how he becomes Batman. So that was a really, that's a great answer. And I love those films, too, that you find where, Conrad, we need to do this as a question, too. What's one of those TV movies? Like when you're in a hotel, and it's like, I can watch this movie anytime I want, and I can stream it commercial free, but it's on TV right now. I'm going to watch it, and I'm not going to turn it off. I don't know why we do that to ourselves. So
I don't know. There's just something about like it being picked, and then just like, oh, this is already on. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to change the dial, the channel, or anything like that.
It's just like a little treasure. It's like a little find. Hey, Jordan, thanks so much for your time tonight. Best of luck with the book. Keep us posted. It's called Building the Milwaukee Bucks. You can pre-order it on Amazon right now. Check out Jordan's Frozen Talk of the Tundra podcast on X as well. Thanks so much for your time tonight, buddy. It's great to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me. This is great.
All right. See you on Blue Sky. All right. That's Jordan Tresky, Wisconsin sports fan. Conrad, he might rival you as a Wisconsin sports fan.
That's some good competition right there.
It is. I think your Phoenix Suns thing brings you down. So yeah. He's got you in the NBA.
Might bring me down a little bit.
Tom from the 414, in answer to our question, what is your favorite superhero movie? Tom didn't. He went superhero, and I love his pick. He says Super Dave Osborne is my pick. Love Super Dave. He also played Marty Funkhauser in on Curb Your Enthusiasm and most of his stuff. We couldn't even clip a Marty Funkhauser clip. It would just be beeps the whole time, so we can't ever use that. Tom says, not a movie. Oh, he clarified. He says, not a movie, but funny. Totally agree, Tom. Thanks for the text. And then, do we have time for Julia Louis?
We have about a minute left.
All right, we can't do that. Julia Louis-Dreyfus turns 64 today. She looks like she's in her late 30s. I cannot believe she's in her 60s. So we have a clip, one of my favorite clips from Seinfeld, featuring Julia Louis. If we can get to that later, we will. But keep those texts coming, folks. We've had some great answers. Picked up some new textures tonight, too. Have you noticed that, Conrad?
Yeah.
Are you making a memo?
I'm making.
Are you taking a note?
We'll just do superhero questions every night.
Well, I don't know if we will. join the fun, folks. What is your favorite superhero movie? That's our question of the night. Great to have you with me on this. Is it Monday already? God, this week is flying by. All right. We'll be back with Victoria Davis from the Capital Times in Madison. This is Pete Schwab at Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
My buddy Dave, who refuses to text the show on the actual text line, sent me a text and said, Superman 2. You know, I don't think that was as good as Superman 1, the Christopher Reeve late 70s movie, but there were some great scenes in there, and there were some really good bad guys in that film. I think it was Zod, and he had two compadres with him that were just, like, really good villains. That's good, Dave. And thank you for not texting the show. The last thing we would want is more actual textures to show up on the text line. All right. So I'm excited to welcome my next guest. She is an award-winning freelance journalist. She also does a lot of work for the Capital Times. She's written for the Isthmus. You could maybe call her Miss Madison. I don't know if she would like that or not, but you could try it. She joins us now, Victoria Davis, on the stream. Hi, Victoria.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. It's nice to put a face with a voice.
That's true.
Just a full disclosure, Victoria did an article on the show Nightlight that aired or that dropped probably late November, early December. And you interviewed me, and that's how I got to know you. It was fun talking to you. I thought you'd make a great guest. So welcome to Nightlight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you again for the article. It was very well done.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. My husband and the baby are out temporarily, so we'll see how quiet the house stays.
When you say out, do you mean like asleep, or is it like
out? They're having a father-daughter night out, so they're out on the town. They'll be back around sometime, maybe middle of the show. But they said they're going to hang out in the basement, watch movies. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
That is pretty cool. I don't want to make you nervous either, but if they're out, a guy with a baby, women love that. So check in.
I know.
Okay.
It's true. I know. It's true. It's true. I am my own worst enemy on that one, but that's okay. It was my idea.
You got the house yourself. That's not so bad either.
No, it's true.
All right. So this was interesting. You mentioned earlier when we were emailing back and forth about the fires in LA, and you said, did you want to talk a little bit about that? And we have a little bit on the show. I have family out there and friends, and it's just such a terrible situation. But you approached it from a different angle, a GoFundMe. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you introduced me. You know, I obviously, like you said, I've worked for the Cap Times here in Madison and the Isthmus. Still do. I also work for Animation World Network, which is based in Van Nuys, California. And we obviously, my job is to do animation reporting there. So we've worked with people at DreamWorks and Nickelodeon and Disney and kind of all the big wigs. And we, in response to the fires, someone geniusly had created a kind of master link to all of the GoFundMes that were created by animators who were affected by the fire. So we have that link upload onto our highlight in Instagram on our account for AWN, for Animation World Network. You can go on Instagram and find it. You can also go on our Facebook and find it. Just kind of a heads up for anybody that wants to contribute and help these animators kind of get back on their feet, especially, you know, losing equipment, losing your home offices. It's going to take some time to kind of get back into the swing of things.
So say that the places where people can go for information again, just so they have it.
Right.
And maybe we could put that, Conrad, on the stream.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can go to, so the Instagram is Animation World Network. And then the Facebook is also Animation World Network.
Okay. That's great. You know, it's interesting because so many people are doing so many things. If there is a silver lining in this, it's nice that people are coming together and trying to help other people that are losing their livelihoods or at least going to be put on hold for a very long time. Because like you said, mm-hmm. people that lose home offices or equipment or anything like that, it's just devastating. So kudos to you for being involved with that. It's funny you say this too, because when my son was born, we lived in the Valley Village area of Los Angeles, right next to Studio City in North Hollywood. And I would take mm-hmm. him walking in the baby Bjorn, and I walked past this kind of this very basic office building, and that all these pictures of Homer Simpson on the window and Bart Simpson and Lisa. And I'm like, what the heck is this? And as it turns out, that's where they animated The Simpsons. And I just got the biggest kick out of that. Like, I'm like, I can't believe that all happens right here. How knowledgeable about animation are you? I know you've dabbled or did you actually, was that your job or?
No, I was never an animator.
Okay.
Some people have asked me that as well, and I'm flattered, but that is not one of my skill sets. But I got hired by my editor, Dan Sarto. I got hired onto Animation World Network in, I believe it was 2020, so like right when the pandemic had started. And it's just been a learning curve ever since. Basically, the first animation article I wrote.
Did we lose Victoria?
I think, yeah.
Might have been maybe a bad connection or something. Oh, there you are, Victoria. You cut out just for a little bit there. Oh. I don't think we have her.
Oh, am I back?
You're back now. We missed you. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. I was basically just saying that when I first began, it was a bit of a learning curve, and had to learn on the job essentially what all the jargon was. And I think I've gotten pretty good at it now.
You can at least sound like you know what you're talking about. That's very important, right? Right.
Exactly.
So tell us, we've got about a minute and a half to if do a break, and we can dive into more of what you do at the Cap Times and what you're writing about. But give us a little bit about your background, like what brought you to writing, and how did you end up in Madison?
Yeah, it is a funny story. My husband and I got married very early. That was not the plan, but it was what it was. And because he was a Marine and I was in school, and someone was like, maybe, because he was about to get deployed, and someone's like, you know, maybe it's better if you're together rather than flying out once a month. Like, you know, and they were correct. So you just make the most of what you got, what time you got. And, and so we ended up getting married, and I flew out there. I transferred schools and ended up in probably one of the best journalism programs I could have asked for at Point Loma Nazarene University. And just learning from people that had worked at NBC San Diego, at New York Times, at CNN, visiting Tijuana, and meeting the journalists there. It was an incredible school. And when my husband left the military, he wanted to go to UW-Madison. So that's what brought us out here.
Oh, nice.
And
let's pick up right there. Yep. All right. Because it sounds like you've had a really cool background that led you into journalism. We'll have more with Victoria Davis after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwamba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
There's a problem with Heather's iron. Bargain buildings, weights and pulleys, feathers hit.
Welcome back. I am Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. Turning to the stream, we have texts from when Jordan was here. Cap Jax, if that is your real name, says, I'm learning feels... good? Yes. Cap Jax brought up his own topic, asked his own question, and answered it. That is my kind of text. He also says, MKE to the frickin' moon. Big time Milwaukee fan there. We're covering Wisconsin's two biggest cities tonight with Jordan Tresky. And now Victoria Davis joins me on the stream. She writes for the Capital Times, and she is also an award-winning freelance writer. You were talking a little bit, Victoria, before the news about your time in Southern California and the background and the training you had to become a journalist. And it sounds like it really prepared you for this line of work.
Yeah, it did. But I mean, as I think a lot of people that are in any kind of creative fields, you know, you get as prepared as you think you could possibly get. And then you get to trying to apply for full-time jobs, and that just gets, you know, you hear the ever, no, sorry.
Yeah.
And I got really good advice from someone who actually rejected me for a job. And I said, well, what, you know, what would you suggest I do? Cause all of it was the same. It was, oh, we need more experience. And she said, just start planting seeds and see what grows, which was fantastic advice. And that's how I became a freelance journalist. And then ended up being the best thing ever. I got to write arts and culture for the Isthmus. I wrote food for the Cap Times, and then I did arts and entertainment for AWN. It was kind of a dream.
So, all right. I want to start there. I'm fascinated, and we haven't talked about it hardly at all on this show. We do have Arthur Ersink on the show Thursday, who created Wisconsin Foodie. He's been on the show before, but other than that, I don't think we've really done a deep dive on food. So You write about food. I find that interesting. What are your qualifications? Honest to God, and I don't mean that in a
being hungry.
So you starve yourself, you go to a restaurant, you get a free meal, and you write an article.
We do a nice fast the day before. Yeah, it's a good time.
That sounds, and you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if that is how you prepare. Like, how do you write about food? Do you have to have chef type knowledge, or do you just go, I like this? I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start.
I think you just have to be curious. You have to know what questions to ask. I think that that's, I had written about food at different internships that I'd had in San Diego, and San Diego was a great place to learn about good food. So that was the other great thing, is coming from there to coming from San Diego to Madison. You learn about really good food, and we've got some really good Mexican food here in Madison. We've got really good Asian food, and that's a huge like staple in San Diego as well. So that prepared me a bit. But honestly, just being curious about what they're making. Like, if you're approaching it like someone who's just fascinated by food and desperate to learn what makes it special, desperate to learn people's backstories about how they got into food, because that's a lot of what I do too, is it's not just, you know, we're not reviewing the food, we're learning why these people are making it in the first place.
So, but when you eat it, are you breaking down the taste, what you like about it? Like, I feel like, I feel like I would never be, like, I've eaten in my share of nice restaurants, but I don't know if I'd be any more qualified. You know, like, a lot of film critics tried to make films. They have some knowledge, you know, whatever, but food just baffles me. So how do you go about that? Let's say you have a great steak and a nice potato. Mm-hmm. How are you breaking that down? The steak was good.
Steak and potatoes.
It was juicy, I mean, or what, you know?
Yeah. Like, how it's seasoned. Like, how is it seasoned? How do you cook it? How long? What? Because, like, some people like their steak bleeding. Some people like it dry as the desert. And I think asking people, how do you find that nice line that invites everybody in, so everybody wants a bite of the steak?
Yeah.
A lot of it's seasoning. That's, like, my favorite question to ask people is, how do you season it? What do you season it with? Because some people have really funny home tricks that they don't. They don't always share it with me, but sometimes they have good tricks up their sleeve, and that's the best stuff.
Because it's funny, that the meat or protein, whether it's fish, chicken, steak, it's all bland without whatever you put on it. Like, the sides are always tastier until you actually season or marinate something. And that would probably be the only thing I would be qualified to ask, because I'd say, did you put wishbone Italian dressing on? Like, what?
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I'll give you a really good example, actually, with an article I have actually coming up.
Cool.
A good example of my favorite kind of things to write about with the Cap Times is I'm doing an article on this vegan bakery, and it's 1146 Vegan. And she was telling me how she makes her own vanilla. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. And she says, yeah, it's I've never heard this phrase in my life. She goes, it's beaver butt juice free. I'm like, what? I need you to say that again and explain to me exactly what you're talking about.
And thank God.
Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, I'm relieved, first of all, but also what? And I guess that's a way that it's like a cheap way to get a vanilla flavor. And I haven't Googled this extensively yet because I'm writing the article this week, but that's a really good example of, like, the things that you learn talking to people and how they make their own stuff and why they make their own stuff, because apparently people are out there squeezing beaver butts to get vanilla flavoring, which is just disturbing. So, I mean, that's kind of the underbelly of writing about food.
The ugly side.
Yeah, exactly.
It's completely inappropriate too. I mean, let's be honest. What do you have a favorite food you like to write about?
I do love writing. I mean, anything with the bakeries, I love, because, I mean, you get to eat cake for your job. I mean, there's very few things that are better than that. I do love writing about, like, anything with pasta or noodles, because it's really fun getting to watch people make it.
And
kind of learning all the techniques. And the same goes for alcohol. Like, when you're writing about different alcohol companies, learning how they make things. Like, I did an article on Black Rose blending here in Madison, and they were experimenting with different barrels that had different flavorings that were already stuck in the barrel when they were making their beers.
Oh, nice.
So learning about that whole fermentation process. Yeah. So I'd say alcohol, pasta, and bakery. the winning trifecta.
That sounds like a nutty night out on the town. That sounds great.
Yeah, sometimes it is.
What do you do when you have a, like, let's say you don't like what you've been served, and let's say it's awful. I remember when I was a comedian, I was working at the Laugh Factory outside Chicago, and this guy just opened up a restaurant, and he looked like the least ethnic person ever. He looked whiter than me, and he said, and it was an Italian restaurant, and he said, well, I'm really proud of my sauces. You got to try my sauces. So he brings me this plate. It was the most bland food I've ever, I'm like, this is what you're banking on? And he was out of business within 6 months. Like, what do you do? You don't want to hurt anybody's livelihood, but how do you approach that if food just isn't good?
And that's where I think we lean into more of the backstory of a person.
Yeah.
Been, I think, fortunate. I mean, truly, and I'm not blowing smoke. I've come across service that's a little questionable, where you're waiting a long time for things. And you're wondering how good it's going to be. And it's been incredible. So I've been very fortunate that there is nothing that I've tasted so far that I haven't like, I mean, I'm knocking, you know, knock on wood, cause now I've jinxed myself. I've had it where you're kind of, you walk in and you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And you're not really sure what you're going to ask, like if there wasn't a lot of research I could do beforehand, if they just didn't have a huge presence on the internet before, and you're kind of winging it, that can be a bit scary, but so far I've only had good experiences.
Do you ever get embarrassed to ask for the salt?
Yes, I do, because my husband's also, he loves to cook. I think if he hadn't gone into the Marines, he would have gone to Le Cordon Bleu.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He and his whole family love to cook. Actually, he and his brother are both major cooks, and me and the sister-in-law don't go near the kitchen, which is ironic because of what I write about. He's told me how much of an insult it is to ask for salt. So I get nervous.
It's like,
for sure.
I either have to enjoy this or, you know, like at a restaurant, especially, it's like, I'm not paying $100 to be depressed, right? Give me the damn salt. My guest is Victoria Davis. She writes for the Capital Times, and she's an award-winning freelance writer. She writes about food, theater, the arts, kind of covers it all. All right, one more food question for you, then I want to move on to like some entertainment stuff, but not that food isn't entertainment, but is there a restaurant in Madison or in Wisconsin where when you think of it and you're hungry, your mouth literally starts to water?
Oh my God. There's so many. I've gotten the privilege of interviewing so many people.
Or type of food. You can go that route too.
You know what? Yes, there. This is weird because I am not an escargot. If you were to say, oh, what are you really craving today? Snails would not be at the top of the list.
Wow. Yeah.
I did an article on this restaurant in Madison. The name is escaping me, which I'm embarrassed to say. I will look it up and get it to you before the end of the show. But they had incredible escargot.
Really?
So much so that I wanted seconds. And Cap Times was paying, so I didn't ask for seconds, but it was, I quickly went back afterwards with my husband for a date night, cause it was so good. They just doused, it was so much butter and so much garlic and quite a bit of salt.
Wow.
And it was delicious. So that's I think the first thing that really comes to mind, which is crazy. But yeah, I will get the name of that.
You can never have enough garlic for me. I will eat when I say extra garlic, and I'll say to the waitress, whatever you're thinking is extra garlic, double that, and then double that. You know. But there's a couple places in Madison. Maharini once I went into, and I couldn't even. I was drooling like. I felt like a dog. Like I went in there, and I was so hungry, and the food is so good. It's just certain foods do that to you.
It's true.
What is new in the entertainment? What's going on in Madison culturally that you could recommend? Like whether it's theater or the independent film scene, have you written about any of that stuff recently?
It's funny. The film scene I haven't gotten a chance to write about because I was deep in the art, the sort of the visual arts, like the theater and music, when I started out with Isthmus, and kind of miscellaneous events going on as well. And around the time that I started, quite a lot of theaters and independent film festival stuff was closing.
Oh, right.
You know, and that was really tragic, and I was really upset about that. But we are very fortunate in Madison that there's such an abundant theater community, and that we have multiple theaters. Obviously there's the large Orpheum, but then you've got the Bartel as well. We have a really cool hub for that here. And I'm actually on Friday this week, I'm actually going to review a play I believe it's Spring Green or Green Spring. Hang on.
Is it American Players? American Players, maybe?
It's the they're doing Henry Clark. It's a one man show, and I'm trying to remember the name of the it's Two Crows. Two Crows is putting on kind of their rendition of the one man play Harry Clark, which actually was first done by Billy Crudup.
From
Big Fish. Right. And so that's at the Slowpoke Lounge and Cabaret. So I'm going there on Friday to review that, which I'm really excited about. But then we've also got a really cool comedy scene as well here in Madison.
Yeah,
that's another thing
sure.
that I tend to get drawn toward. And sometimes they go hand in hand. You get comedies and improv shows.
Listen, you
like
could
that.
Probably mix and match food reviews with a theater review. Like, it was a juicy... steak of a purple.
I could. I really could. Really sink my teeth into this one.
All right, we'll have a couple a couple more minutes with Victoria Davis after a very short break. Great to have you with me on this Monday night on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. That's what you get for waking up in Vegas. Why are these lights so bright? Did we get hitched last night? Dressed up like Elvis.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Tomorrow night on Nightlight, I welcome Sherry Stoka, nutritionist, a Milwaukee-based nutritionist. We'll talk to her about, I guess we are talking about food more on the show, because we have Arthur Ersink from Wisconsin Foodie here on Thursday. Apparently, this is all of a sudden the Food Network Congress. I almost called you Congress. We could add that to the list.
Night food or?
Night food.
Food light?
Yeah, sure. And then Eric and Adam are here from Ask Your Mother tomorrow night. They're going to rock the studio on Wednesday night. Director Anders Lindell, who made the film Green and Gold with Brandon Sklenar and Craig T. Nelson, will be on the show at 7:20. So fun guests this week here on Nightlight, and hope you can join us. On the stream, Elizabeth says, and double that garlic. So I don't know how you feel about garlic, Victoria, but garlic has its fans. I can never have enough.
I agree. Can never have enough. Also, the restaurant is Lalonde. That's the restaurant. Yes.
I've heard of that.
If you're going to Lalonde, even if you have never tried escargot and snails, or even have tried bad escargot and snails. Redeem your experience at Lalonde.
Okay.
It's so good.
It's been a while for me. I go down there about once a month for my PBS gig, so I'll probably actually check that out.
Definitely.
Tom from New Berlin says, "Way to pull up classic REM." Oh, he liked your intro and outro music, Conrad. Well done.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, guys. And I got a text from Steady Eddie, but it's like as long as a newspaper article, and I know that Victoria only has the house to herself for a limited amount of time tonight. So all right, Victoria, you had the opportunity, I saw in your bio, to interview Angela Kinsey, who played Angela from The Office. We talk about movies and TV a lot on this show. What kind of questions did you ask her, and how was that interview? Was that fun?
That was fun. That I had done for, there was a kind of a third party, because I was working for Hidden Remote at the time, and there was a third party that was like, we'll give you this interview, But there was other stuff that they were kind of advertising at the same time. So I got like 5 minutes to talk to her. But she was lovely. And that was many years ago. So I'm struggling to remember. I do remember we talked about, her kids, which I think is such a fun thing. I've had really good experiences ever since that was before I became a mom, but from that point to especially now, talking with celebrities about their kids is like one of the greatest things in the world. And they just open up to you. Yeah. About it. Like it's, everyone wants to talk about their kids, no matter what job you got. That Great seems point. To be the fun one that everyone really enjoys. So she was talking about her kids. That interview is actually on my website if people wanted to go check it out.
Oh, very cool. And that's so true. Like when, you know, they've heard all the questions about, you know, show business and this, and they can almost be a little guarded, but when you steer them towards something that is a more universal experience, that's really interesting observation. Mm-hmm. And you also wrote about Amanda Brinkman and Ty Pennington from the Small Business Revolution.
Yes.
That's important to me because they were in Marinette several years ago, where I live now, and they were considering Marinette to be a town that they showcased on the Small Business Revolution. Ultimately, you know, they came to town, they seemed pretty cool. But they had this big reception, seemed genuine, but what did you think about it? Was your experience with them good, positive?
They were awesome, and yeah. They had such a great dynamic. I remember laughing a lot talking with them, which was such a fun thing. And I talked to them twice for two seasons, I believe. I believe it was season one and season two. And they were just having a good time, excited to talk to me. I had a similar experience when I interviewed the Critical Role people. Just they were having fun. And that's the best kind of interviews is when it's two friends sitting in the same place talking to an interviewer. I mean, with our interview too, it was just like a conversation. And that's honestly what I try to do as much as possible.
You mean
just,
you and me?
Yeah,
when
yeah.
You did you the
and
article,
me.
When
yeah. you and I, yeah, when you and I talked, it was very much a conversation.
Right.
And that's... Sometimes you get limited time. You get 5 minutes and you have to kind of bullet point your questions. But sometimes it just flows really well. I remember laughing a lot in that interview.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that because I agree. I think you said I need 15 minutes or something. We ended up talking for like well over a half an hour. yeah, exactly. And then we went bowling. We joined a social club. But anyway,
right,
it was.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. And it's fun when you connect. And especially in the radio, I do this a lot. And then I'm up against commercial breaks. And I'm like, oh, I'm really enjoying this interview. But that's good to know about them because they were in Marinette and everybody liked them. But when Marinette didn't get chosen, some people were kind of like, well, they were so nice to our family. I'm like, they're just, it's, there was 10 other cities. Like,
would you rather they be mean to you?
Right? I mean, they don't like you personally.
I know that's the hard part about this.
So Victoria, we have about a minute left. Are you watching mm-hmm. anything you could recommend? Binge watching anything, seen anything
yes.
in the theaters?
Lay yes. on me. I just finished watching. It's a funny recommendation kind of out of the blue, but it's on Netflix. It's a South Korean drama called It's Okay to Not Be Okay. And it's a very fascinating, it's live action, but it's got a lot of good animation kind of woven into it. And it talks about mental disabilities, trauma, relationships within, you know, having mental disabilities and trauma. And it's fascinating. And if we want to tie that back to Madison, if people want to go watch that show and then listen to people talk about the same subjects here in Madison, at the Gamma Ray Bar, Nate Chapel, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name, is gathering an all autistic slate of comedians to debunk misconceptions about autism, which is exactly what that show talks about. So go see that show and then pop some popcorn and watch It's Okay to Not Be Okay on Netflix because then you're in for a wild night.
That is a that is worth two recommendations. That's outstanding. Hey, this was fun, Victoria. Let's do this more often. It was great having you on. Enjoy the last of your quiet time.
Thank you so much, Pete.
Daddy daughter night ends, but that's sounds like you got a good thing going there. Thanks so much and have a great night.
Thank you. You as well.
You're welcome. Steady Eddie. Oh my gosh, we got to get to Steady Eddie. He says, "Hi Pete. I remember the Bucks in their beginning and I was big into basketball and I love the Bucks. The Bucks radio play-by-play guy had nicknames for the Bucks players like the Cement Maker, Mixer, the Greyhound, Cowboy, Gentleman John, the Electric Eye, King Kareem. I myself did some serious balling back then. Sometimes I'll tell you and your listeners about my perfect game in the hardwoods. On one magical day, I was 5 for 5 from the field." We're not going to finish this, are we? We're going to lead the show tomorrow night with Steady Eddie's text. We ran out of time. I'm sorry, Steady Eddie. This is a gem, though. I'm going to start tomorrow night's show with this. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.